Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Islamic Pulse Talk Show. I'm your humble host, Muzaffar Haider. Today in the studio we have with us our guest, Sayyid Shahryar Naqvi. Sayyid, welcome to the studio. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you, Sheikh Muzaffar Haider, for having me on the show.
Well, it's really good to have you. Usually I'm the guest or somebody else is the guest. You always get stuck being the host. Today is your day, Sayyid. How do you feel about it?
Alhamdulillah, yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's a different perspective because I'm usually sitting on that side of the
conversation. It's nicer
of to the
be
conversation.
The guest,
yes, it is.
I prefer being Alhamdulillah. Okay, so Mahdawiyah is what we're talking about generally. We've got Punza Sha'ban and all of these celebratory days coming up, and people are thinking about Imam Mahdi Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajah Sharif. The entire mission of Islamic Pulse actually is about Imam Mahdi, and he is at the forefront of our vision, our thoughts and our prayers. So what did you actually want to talk about today?
Yeah, so Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. I thought it was a very interesting subject. Of course, it's a very comprehensive subject. We have had many different speakers come in and talk about different angles and aspects about it. And I really do appreciate that you guys gave me the opportunity to go ahead and talk a little bit and put forth my humble perspective. One of the things that I have maybe two or three major points that I really wanted to talk about. The first one, that this is the 15th of Sha'ban, and the birth anniversary of the 12th Imam is truly something that should be celebrated. Mm-hmm. Now, the purpose of the celebration is not just to, you know, have fun and the two thumbs up and these kind of things, which is good, is there. Putting up the lights and going to the centers and the celebratory aspect of it should be there, and it is good.
Fireworks.
It's refreshing, giving gifts to kids. This is another thing that we very rarely do, which other religions have done a good job, is, for example, on Christmas. Even though it's become a secular holiday, but originally it was the birth of Jesus Christ and these things, and they would give gifts. So anyways, why not on the birth anniversary of Imam al-Mahdi, Jalla ta'ala Faraj Sharif, may Allah, he's in his reappearance, on his birthday give gifts. But what I was saying was, apart from this celebratory aspect, the purpose is to keep this memory and this mission of the Imam alive, right? Along with the celebration, this remembrance of the 12th Imam, the remembrance of the mission of the 12th Imam on a yearly basis. It should be daily, but on a yearly basis, we remember that this Imam is alive, he is in occultation, and he is the awaited savior of humanity.
Yeah, and at the same time, just to add off the back of that,
sure,
it's important to stay connected to the core message of Mahdawiyah, right, of Imam Mahdi, what the mission, the global mission of Imam Mahdi will be.
Right.
If we just make it celebratory, then it will just become commercial,
right,
which
right,
is unfortunately what's happened predominantly with Christianity and with Christmas.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, we've had lots of interesting guests, alhamdulillah, and they've been talking about various dimensions. I had the pleasure of hosting one of them as well. Various dimensions of Mahdawiyah.
Sure, sure.
I was wondering which part of Mahdawiyah, the idea of the Mahdi, stands out to you most, or which one feels the most unique for you?
It's interesting because this is also what I was gonna talk about. So there's really three aspects that whenever I think about Mahdawiyah, or I think about Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, or I think about Zuhur, the reappearance, the Faraj, the salvation, the refuge. Again, three points come to my mind, right? And which is what I kind of wanted to discuss. The first thing is that this is a very universal concept, right? This idea of a savior, an awaited savior who will come, who will bring justice, who will bring fairness, equity. He will you know, break down the towers of injustice and oppression and tyranny and these kind of things, is something that is not limited to just the Shia madhab. It is within the Sunni Muslims as well. It is within Islam overall. And then when you go to Christianity has this concept of an awaited savior. Judaism has the concept of an awaited savior. And even if you go to these non-Abrahamic religions, Hinduism also has this concept of a savior who will come. Buddhism has this concept. In these Chinese ancient Eastern religions, you will also find this concept of this individual who will come and who will bring truth and justice to a world that is yearning for truth and justice. So this universal aspect about Mahdawiya.
Yeah, no, certainly. I think that stands out for a lot of people out there, especially with the global audience, not just in the Muslim world, but the idea that the Imam is here, he's waiting for you. Yes. Often you're told, you know, that, you know, we are the ones who are waiting for the Imam, but it's actually both ways. He's right. Al-Muntadhar right. and Al-Muntadhir. He's the awaited and the one who we are waiting for and the one that is waiting for us.
Right, exactly, yes, right. yes.
So it's that relationship between humanity and the Khalifa Allah on earth.
Well, it's interesting you brought up this point because I had forgotten that this was one of the things I also wanted to talk about, right? When we were talking about the celebratory aspect of 15th Shaban and we had said that this is an occasion to think and to reflect about the being of Imam al-Mahdi, about the mission of Imam al-Mahdi, right? And one of the things that we should reflect is the same thing, is what is he waiting for? Right? Why has it taken, you know, 1,000 plus years for an individual to wait? What aspects are missing within the society, within an individual, within the world that has prolonged this occultation, you know?
Syed, are you sure you want to talk about that? Because honestly, this is a subject, it makes me sad.
Yeah, I mean, and so, and it's interesting because they're all connected to each other, right? So the first one was this universal aspect that across the board. Mm. I mean, even if you look at an atheist, for example, who has no belief in God, who has, you know, even they have this yearning for a perfect world. Mm. Well, how do you come about a perfect world? You need leadership, right? If you have, for example, if you have corrupt leaders, if you have tyrannical leaders, you have oppressive rulers, you have, you know, when we say anti-religious leaders, who are not sincere, who are not for the people, well, what are you going to result in? You're going to result in a world full of oppression and chaos, right? So even this atheist, at the end of the day, who's looking for a utopian world, a place where you can raise your kids safely, morally, ethically, right? Is you need some sort of leadership, and I would say that even they're looking for a savior.
Well, there's also this level of apathy, right? Where, yes. I mean, we're talking about atheists, but not Muslims too, and even religious people. I believe that a lot of people out there have gotten to a place, unfortunately, where they're like, well, the world was awful, and it's awful now, and it's always going to be awful. There is no change to it. The idea of a utopian world where people genuinely care about each other, where people love each other, where the leaders are just, where oppression generally doesn't take place, where there is no poverty because there actually is enough resources to go around.
Sure.
Such a world is not something comprehensible for people anymore. It's almost right. they've been told that, look, there's a murder taking place every other day in their locality. Yeah. There's a mass murderer in America just running around killing innocent people. Yeah. There's school shootings taking place. There's bombings taking place in the Muslim world. And all over the world, there's just corruption and chaos. God, it's really bleak, isn't it?
Yeah.
But we've been
kind of shrugged their shoulders.
Yeah, yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be. It's always been like
somebody
that.
Died, somebody died, somebody got dying. Killed, somebody. I kind of wanted to connect this right to this second point that I wanted to bring up, and that is this current the current status of the world, the current condition of the world, right? We look, for example, liberal democracy and communism and capitalism, right? These are these three ideologies that have always put forth this idea that we are the ones who will bring about a utopian society, right? And we see that the communism in its pure form no longer exists, right? Even if you want to talk about China, this is a hybrid capitalist, communist, materialist system. It's not pure communism. You won't find pure communism in most parts of the world, unless perhaps if you go towards Venezuela or Cuba, but that open to discussion. Liberal democracy, what has liberal democracy given us other than leaders, such as Donald Trump, or leaders such as Joe Biden, or Emmanuel Macron, or any of these other,
Boris Johnson.
The UK, Boris Johnson, right? Leaders who don't care about the masses. Mm. Even though liberal democracy is supposed to be, you know, by the people, for the people, people, right? But and the last person on the list to be taken care of in today's world, in the liberal, democratic, Western civilization, is the people. Mm-hmm. Look at the amount of homeless people there are. Look at the amount of poor people there are. Look at the amount of medical costs, right? I mean, it costs you an arm and a leg to go get your arm and leg fixed in a lot of these countries, right? As we said, the common, and then capitalism. What has capitalism given us, other than again, 1% getting incredibly rich, and 99% of the people, don't have resources, don't have access. They're in debt slavery, right? So these ideas, or these idols. That try to present themselves in the world, we see that they have not been able to solve the problems of the world. The world is more in chaos than it has ever been, right? And you see the for example, Yemen, it totally destroyed a nation. You see Palestine, totally a nation, people, refugees just kicked out, pick up your stuff, go from one city to another city, one home to another home, you know, incessant wars, the selling of weapons, the selling of drugs and alcohol, and you know, and these kind of things. The world really seems to have reached a stage full of oppression, and none of these idols, as you say, has been able to bring about this salvation, this
actually,
peace of mind.
They've actually led to it becoming worse.
They've led to it becoming worse, which again, you know, we await this savior. Who will save us from these false idols, whether it's capitalism, materialism, consumerism, communism, Western liberal democracy, and all these other kind of things that have been promoted to bring salvation. They're not going to bring salvation. They haven't brought salvation. They never will. This is what the divine prophets of the past have said, is the only way to bring about peace and justice in the earth is to implement the divine laws of God. And it is that implementation of the divine laws of God, which we say, which will manifest itself in the Mahdi, the awaited Savior, who will return with Jesus Christ and establish this kingdom of God and truth and justice on the earth. I don't know if you want to add something. If not, I'll go to the third point.
Bismillah.
Now, despite this, so we've kind of talked about the negative aspect of the world. The third thing that when I think of Mahdawiyah and Imam Mahdi, and I really thought that should be presented to the public, is the Islamic Republic and the Islamic Revolution. Now, the Islamic Republic and the Islamic Revolution in the era of the occultation, the major occultation, is holding down the fort, right? It is holding down the fort, let's say hunkering down, I think, as they say, you know, as you get in a bunker, you right? Waiting for the arrival of this awaited savior.
Practically.
Right? I mean, if you look at the world, you see the Muslim world, you will not find any kind of leader, you will not find any kind of government who is truly working towards the goals of the reappearance of the Mahdi. Other than the Islamic Revolution and the Islamic Republic of Iran. If you look at their constitution, it says in the constitution, we have temporarily made this government in order to hand it over to its true owner, which is the awaited savior of humanity, Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance.
Subhanallah.
This is something that not just the Muslims should appreciate, the humanity in general should appreciate. What is the Islamic Republic of Iran working towards? It's working towards truth and justice and equity, right? We have Jews who live in the Islamic Republic of Iran who are represented in the parliament despite being a very, very small minority. I mean, like 1-2% of the total population, right? Statistically, they shouldn't have representation still. the Islamic Republic of Iran, under the banner of truth and justice and equality and equity and fairness, right, says, no, we will give them representation. Right, recently I read somewhere that one of the Navy Admiral commanders of the Islamic Republic of Iran is a Sunni Muslim. Mm-hmm. Right, so truly bringing Muslims together, the Muslim world should really appreciate these efforts of the Islamic Republic.
And of course, sorry, just to add, Zoroastrians and Christians as well.
Zoroastrians and Christians, yes.
Yeah, a couple of years back, I actually met a taxi driver and he wasn't fasting, and I was like, why aren't you fasting? And he was like, my name is John.
Complete freedom, and everybody, and the world, I think, should appreciate this. The world should go to alternative media. You know, one of the things that I always liked about Islamic Pulse is that it's alternative media. Mm. You know, it is trying to give you the truth as it is, bring it out, show what's the reality on the ground, so that people, you know, stop falling for the lies of the mass media, and you know, and go do your own research, see what the Islamic Republic of Iran and the Islamic Revolution, led by Imam Khomeini, and in the present day under the leadership of Imam Khamenei, see what their goals are, see what their aspirations are, read their constitution. What does the constitution say? I think people will really be amazed. For example, getting rid of poverty is one of the things that's in the constitution of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Mm. I challenge the constitution of any other country in the world. We say that the United States of America is the most freedom-loving, the most, the savior of humanity. Is there any clause in the constitution of the United States of America that says we will get rid of poverty? No. But here, based on Islamic values, I think this perhaps brings me to my third and last point, is that what do we do in this era, right? In this, and when we have realized that these other isms, capitalism and consumerism and communism, these guys have failed. They have not been able to bring peace of mind and tranquility to humanity, right? We should, and in a situation where the Islamic Republic of Iran is trying to bring this peace and tranquility to the world and hand over the banner, right, to this awaited savior, is what is our role, right? Do I just kind of be quiet and stay in my house and just pray for the advent and be unconcerned with what's happening to not just other Muslims in the world, to humanity in general, right? So Russia invaded Ukraine. Right? This is a humanitarian issue. I'm not saying Russia is good or bad, but people are dying, right? Mm-hmm. And this idea of people are dying, let's just shrug our shoulders, this is something we have to snap out of. Mm-hmm. Is whether it's a Russian dying, a Ukrainian dying, whether it's a Christian dying or a Jew dying, or whether it's a Palestinian dying or a Nigerian dying, mm-hmm. this is a human being. Mm-hmm. And we need to wake up as a human conscious and realize these things, and work towards this awaited savior, and work towards this reappearance. And I think my last thing is that is we have to do this through unity, right? Whether you're a Christian, whether you're a Jew, whether you are a Hindu, whether you're a Muslim, whether you're an atheist, we're all looking for a world that has peace and tranquility. And we need to work together to bring about that peace and tranquility. And at the end of the day, when we see truth, we should accept it. And inshallah, I think on my behalf, that's about it.
It's been a wonderful discussion. Unfortunately, we've run out of time. I wish we could talk more, inshallah. Thank you for your thoughts and for contributing your ideas and shedding some very important light on an issue which concerns everybody out there, wherever you are. Dear viewers, we ask Allah to bless every one of you out there, inshallah. Stay strong, stay firm, work towards the goals and ambitions of Mahdawiyah, of Imam Mahdi, ajjalallahu ta'ala faraja sharif. Identify those goals and work towards them. And we pray that you pray for us as well. From myself and from Sayyid Shahryar, we bid you Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.